Blog Talk Radio.
You must understand the touch of your hand makes my pulse react. That it's only the thrill of boy meeting girl while possess a track. It's physical, only logical. You must try to ignore that it means more than I've got cause to be. There's a name for it. There's a phrase that's it. But whatever the reason, you do it for me. Oh, what love got to do? Got to do it.
Saturday night, you're listening to Bad Company with Grey Eyes Smith, and this show is brought to you by a group on allpoetry.com called Late Night Poets. We also have anthologies available on amazon.com under the same moniker, so feel free to check those out and help support these shows. That said, tonight's show is based on a contest that Lee Wildove and myself ran, based on the prompt of the song that you heard, What's Love Got to Do With It? And so that's the gist of tonight's show. And I'm just going to check the studio real quick here. No callers as of yet. All right. So I'm going to post the first poem here. And this is by Orent, and she has a SoundCloud, so I will play that. All right. Got the link posted, and I'll play the poem.
December, a Venus and Adonis style poem.
Love always feels eternal while it lasts. Everlasting moments of completion. But soon that special spark is in the past. Reality's cold ash, a bitter treason. As we are not eternal, love can't be. Love's blossoms always wilt in misery. And why is longer better? Is time spent a currency we're given at our birth? And when at long last the veil is rent, do we truly measure a great fire's worth by how lasting are its flashing embers? 'Tis why I said I'd love you till December. End poem.
Beautiful read and a fantastic poem. You know, love can have a shelf life, unfortunately. And, you know, sometimes we like to believe that they're eternal and ethereal, but that's not always the case, unfortunately. And sometimes that love expires. So I thought you did a fascinating write on the subject of love and the shortness of it in reality. It had an excellent rhyme and meter flow to it as well. So just a wonderful job, Arendt. I really enjoyed it thoroughly. Excellent read, excellent write. All right. Okay. I'm going to grab the next poem here. I'll post this to the group. Okay, here we go. And this is by Robert Pilecki, and it's called Love You. How do I love you? Let me see. There are the two halves, united as one, wrapping the arms around the sun. Love, a sparkle in the eye of the sun, the mirror of the candlelight. Many dry nights, but a cloudy sky with a threat of rain. And no umbrella, but like the rainbow, always comes after the storm. Love you like the grass loves morning dew, and the stars love the night sky. In the rain and snow, through the dark moments, till the edge of doom. In the silent times, when the moon hides in a cave, and stars don't blink, birds don't sing, your eyes tell me all. But really, not a special reason, just love you, and that is all. Love you, just because I do. End poem. And that was a beautiful, right? You know, it speaks to love and devotion of one spirit for another, and just for the fact that that spirit exists is why he loves this person. And, you know, it's wonderful, right, you know, with a touch of the nature in it as well, which I appreciate because I'm a very into nature guy, and I thought he did an excellent poem with it. And my favorite lines were the two halves united as one, wrapping arms around the sun. Just a beautiful image that is. Okay, I'm going to check this video here quick. Hello, area code 503. Who's calling, please?
Hello. I am Emiliana.
Hi, Emiliana. How are you?
Oh, I'm good. How are you?
I'm great, thank you. And did you get a chance to hear the last poem read?
I think so. I may not have, though, honestly.
Okay, I'll get your opinion on the next one then.
All right. Yeah, sorry.
That's okay. Okay, so I'm going to post the next one if you wouldn't mind reading this, please. And this is by Rhonda Yosori.
Oh, you want me to read it?
Sure, please, and thank you.
Oh, okay. All right. Actually, I've never done this before. Okay. Swallowing by a precarious quagmire of emotional vacuity, snapping at heels all life, leading with a steam vessel, desolation running at high speed till the euphoria rhythm flow of sunlight's waves breach through the clouds, thick walls, dawning cognizance of love. Solitude fled at the first glinting love word on the day's page. Mind is crowned on the gladness imperial throne by love virtuoso's ethereal fingers touch, courting by serenity's supreme retinue. Face beaming with ecstatic childlike senses humming as they striding through the jubilation's grand abode corridors as an excitable butterfly that wings its way smoothly through the aesthetic spring's odorous air.
Beautiful read. And that was by Rhonda Isserie, and it's called Elysian Ataraxia. And Elysia means blissful, delightful, and ataraxia means calmness, untroubled by mental or emotional disquiet. You know, I really like it. You know, it's presented itself in a very astute fashion. You know, it speaks of a blissful calmness that is a serenity that not many people get to feel, and I think she captured that beautifully in this poem. What did you think, Melania? Melania, sorry.
No problem. I thought the rhythm was nice. It rolled off the tongue well. I definitely had some issues understanding some other parts of it, but I liked the excitable butterfly scene. I thought that part was great, just not just in like rhythm, but also just in terms of detail. So yeah.
Great comment, thank you. And welcome to the show, Dexter.
What's up, Gray? How are you?
Hey. I'm good, thanks. How are you?
And Emiliana, you're doing fantastic, by the way. Glad you were on.
Oh, thank you.
You'd be kind of nervous.
Absolutely.
But you're doing great.
Did you get a chance to hear Emiliana read?
I did. And really, the wording and everything that is used on this is top-notch. I mean, the vocabulary, the flow, just really the kind of cadence. There's a cadence to these lines that is kind of enchanting. Face beaming like an ecstatic, with ecstatic childlike. This poem just really brings out a tremendous amount of energy, and I thought it was fantastic. So very well done.
Great comment, thank you, Doctor. Okay, so I'm going to grab the next link, and then when you see it, Dexter, would you mind reading it, please?
Not a problem.
Okay. All right, here. Sorry. 1 second. Okay. There we go.
All right. This is by EJ Cool, Bittersweet. My catches have been depleted, all reserves exhausted, and yet I scrounge for you, the lead pennies of my eyelids, draw me into darkness, where I may briefly forget you. Bittersweet nothing, struggles to become something, somewhere, somehow, for you. Take these paltry shreds of me, leave my vessel bleeding, bucket after bucket, for you. End poem.
Well, fascinating poem. Very heartfelt and deep. I mean, you know, I love the use of imagery and metaphor. It was very ethereal, and I really liked the second and third stanzas. So just a beautiful poem. What did you think, Annie?
Yeah, I really like this one. I noticed the lead pennies of my eyelids. It sort of reminded me of like death rituals for in people who are actually dead and I guess given money to like pass on to the afterlife or something. I feel like this is kind of used to like invoke a kind of death and like losing someone that you love, and that they kind of take a part of you with them when they go. And I thought that was actually really brilliant how she did that.
A wonderful comment, thank you. And Dexter, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, this is a painful write, a bittersweet write. I mean, to say the least, you know, I just feel like this is a person that's kind of reached that moment where they just know that it's not going to turn out right, but they still continue to pour themselves into this person. And you start to question whether or not it's like, do I like the pain, or is this why am I doing this to myself? Bucket after bucket for you. This is a very one-sided relationship and existence, and I don't know. This is just very painful and very well done.
Absolutely well said. Thank you, Daniel. I mean, thank you, Dexter. And I'd like to welcome Daniel to the show. Hello, Daniel. Does she know?
Hey, guys. Hey, Dex. Hey, Emmy. Gray, how we doing? This is the
Daniel.
How are you?
Good. This is the second time I heard the host, the second time in a row last night, I heard the host by themselves and tried to call in to save them, and two other people beat me to the punch. So history repeats itself here, but I did get to hear the poem, and EJ is great. You can almost see her style. It looks like she won silver on this, well deserved. I actually just gave her a silver on one of mine yesterday. So, she's a very good writer, and this is very heartfelt and dark and deep. You can really feel the love and closeness she had for this person, and how hard it was, whatever happened, that she was heartbroken. Same as Emmy, I believe you commented on the lead pennies of my eyelids. I thought was really interesting. If you're really crying, if you're really, really down, it can be hard that you just want to even be awake, or just be, your eyes can feel so heavy. And that, take these paltry shreds of me, leaving my vessels bleeding, bucket after bucket for you. It's just a constant longing and sadness for this person. Beautiful job, EJ. I thought it was, very, very packed in for a brevity.
So EJ is the one cleaning up on. So EJ is the one cleaning up on all these shows, winning the awards, huh? We got to stop her.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, she's forced to be reckoned with. <me.
laughs> Great comment, thank you, Daniel. And I'd like to welcome area code 405 to the show. Hello, area code 405. Who's calling, please?
Hi, this is Scarlett.
Oh, hi, Scarlett. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Thank you for calling in. I appreciate it. And
this is my first time, so I'm a little nervous.
Oh, well, you sound wonderful, so hopefully things will go just fine. And
welcome, Scarlett. Well, welcome to the Saturday Night Crazy Club.
Hi, it's good to be here.
It's great to have you. And I'd like to welcome Bobby to the show as well. Hello, Bobby.
Bobby's got the mute monster already on top of her.
I think Bill might have to unmute her. Hi, Phil. Can you unmute Bobby,
our show,
please?
Bobby, our show is next week. You and I aren't supposed to be on today. I don't know what you're doing here.
I'm kibitzing.
Oh, okay.
What are you doing here?
Hi, Bob.
Yeah,
right. Fancy meeting you on a Saturday night.
Bob, did you get a chance to hear that last poem?
I did, and it was a very touching write. EJ has such a way with dark verse. It's so heartfelt and so heartrending. Bittersweet, nothing struggles to become something. And I leave my vessel bleeding bucket after bucket for you. Good God, that is just so visceral.
Well said, Bobby. Thank you. And Scarlett, did you get a chance to hear it?
No, I haven't. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's okay. Okay, Daniel, I have the next write posted, if you wouldn't mind reading that, please.
Absolutely. Hold on a second here. Let me get my computer going here. It's the one by Vectus Mann, is that correct?
Yes, you bet.
Yeah.
All right. It's by Vectus Mann called I Wish I Could Say No. Life's always been this way, enjoying astray love games I play. I wish these urges would end. What message is it that I send? Never keeping my true love, real heartache, endlessly sealed, full of heartache, full of pain, until the next time comes again. I love to flirt. It's fun to tease, having men do anything to please. Urges take me. Off I go. Didn't catch his name or say hello. Giving in to urges is wrong of me. Feeling my need, escape reality. It pleases me so, it won't let go. I have to say yes, I just can't say no. I want to escape this vice, stop making love pay the price. I must stop, mend my ways, my love he deserves better days. I need to look into his eyes again, no longer wounding, causing pain. He needs to know for sure, I'm not being faithful anymore. Why do I let these compulsions corrupt my deepest emotions? I can't help it. I'm going out tonight. My will's not strong enough to fight. I have to flirt. It's fun to tease and have men do anything to please. A cheeky smile for a hunky guy. I'm in this bed. We both know why. Silky smooth urges take me unaware. You can't see it, but I'm feeling it there. Why do I let these compulsions corrupt my deepest emotions? My desire lasts for only one night. Just someone new to hold me tight. What use is fidelity if you don't have enough sincerity? Caresses bring thrilling pleasures. In turn, I bury my sexual treasures. Help me stay this unfaithful mind. Stop me hurting love, being unkind. My love knows I cheat. My love knows I tried. Each time again I lie. I know he dies. No more unfaithfulness. No more lies. I want to escape this vice. Stop making love pay the price. I must stop. Mend my ways. My love, he deserves better days. I need to look into his eyes again, no longer wounding, causing pain. He needs to know for sure I am not being unfaithful. I won't be unfaithful anymore. I won't be unfaithful anymore. End poem.
Oh, what wonderful read. And, I mean, you know, this has somebody's got a wandering heart that just travels wherever it wants to, has at free will. And, you know, they wish it didn't, but it does. So, you know, she wishes she could say no. And I thought it was such a powerful right. And it's lovely not being able to connect to love and being always in that pattern of love them and leave them and never having complete satisfaction. So I thought it was just a wonderful poem. And what did you think, Emmy?
Yeah, I noticed there are quite a few, there's quite a bit of repetition here, and I sort of got that the point of that may have been that this person is literally just kind of trying again and again and again, and they just can't seem to stop. And I think it like really establishes the the exhaustion that can sort of accumulate over time with just trying the same basic thing over and over again and just failing. So I actually like that part. I would also be curious kind of to see like more of the picture, but yeah, that's what I had.
Well, that's great, thank you. And Dexter, what did you think?
Yeah, I thought that this was a fantastic write. Could I just say that since we got a couple of brand new people, there's two rules. You got to have fun on the show. Rule number one, you know that, Gray. Rule number two is that if everybody could mute while you're not talking, then that way we don't get the feedback. So I thought that this write so was very expressive and very telling, I guess, of the time and the day and age. And I think that sexual addiction is going to be something that is very much so more out there and acknowledged, I guess, more of an addiction. It just seems like it's become an addiction over the last few years. But I think with this day and age, with technology and everything just so right at your hand, it's becoming such a prevalent problem. So I thought that she captured this very well, and I thought it was very well done, very painful, right?
Great comment, Dexter. And Scarlett, what did you think?
I thought it was actually very spicy in a way, and then like you said, the consistency, the over and over. And I get how it is to try something and fail, and the repetition of it. And I like the length of it and how she still kept the same style and the rhyme going throughout. I think that really kept me kind of going along with it.
Excellent comment. Thank you, Scarlett. And Bobby, what are your thoughts?
I kind of feel what Dex saw is this is a tale of addiction. Only instead of a substance, we've got an emotional addiction. Someone who's getting a rush off of the newness, the adventure, the forbidden nature of pursuit, because they know they have someone already, and pursuing someone else is almost of a forbidden nature, and the adventure of the unknown. And then once they indulge themselves, they're back to recriminations, but they can't seem to break out of the cycle.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you, Bobby. And Daniel, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree with everyone. You know, definitely sexual addiction here, which they're saying has nothing to do with the fact that she loves her husband or boyfriend. It's just she's addicted to whatever it is, either the sex or the flirtation part. It's something she's doing that she hates herself for it, but she almost has to. I also liked Emmy's comments as well too. As far as the repetitiveness, it's I'm wondering if she what's love got to do with it? I'm not sure about your contest if it has to do with that that Tina Turner song, but it has a very song-like fashion with this, and also I really enjoyed the breaks that were in there, and I tried to give a little bit of a break when I read it, because it was kind of like, you know, this one's ended, and now that she's thinking, why do I let these compulsions corrupt me? I can't help it. Why am I doing this? and then she gives herself another break, and it comes back again. She's got to go out again. So almost like a little bit of, you know, just the psychology into the mind of the person of how you try to stop, but, you know, it's gonna come back. You know, if you wait a little bit longer, you're just not going to be able to help yourself. So a lot going on here, really interesting. Great, right, Vectus?
Great comment, Daniel. Thank you. And I'd like to welcome caller 504 to the show. Who's calling, please?
Hello, I'm on the line, but I'm not. I don't know if that's my number.
Area code 50540. But who are we speaking with?
You. This is Sandra Ludwig.
Oh, hi, Sandra. How are you?
I'm fine.
Do you want it to
that's
be
great.
Your number?
I wanted to read my poem. I signed up to come in to read tonight.
Fantastic.
Awesome. And I'd like to welcome area code 254 to the show as well. Hello, area code 254. Who's calling,
hi, it's
please?
Passions.
Hi, Passions.
Hey, hon, how are you doing?
I'm good, thank you.
That's great.
Sorry, Scarlett, I've got your poem
nice
up if you would mind. I'm sorry?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
I'm going to post
this
yours.
Yeah, sure.
Thank you.
I said the teddy bear was a good poem. I read it.
Thank
awesome
you.
Work. It was one that a lot of us can relate to. Great job on it.
Thank you. It makes me feel better that there's more people in this world. I'm not so alone with it. You know, it doesn't make me a bad mom struggling.
Exactly. And it's great. It's great to express.
Thank you so
much.
Okay, whenever you're ready, Scarlett, please.
Okay. And this is the teddy bear. And it's Mother's Day, and I can't get out of bed. I'm losing to these voices in my head. In my own mind, I want my kids near. This monster in my head gives me fear. I stay away, cry, and crouch as my family watches TV on the couch. 3 out of 4 children do what they're told, but the youngest has her own mold. I try to hide as she creeps down the stairs. She whispers, "Happy Mother's Day, Mom. Here's the teddy bear." I sleep with a stare every night. When I have a bad day, he's always mine. I hold him close and near as he takes away my fear. What more could a mother want? My teddy bear has saved me more than once.
Wow, that's a beautiful poem. It really shows the love and connection that your daughter has to you. And I thought it was just a wonderful expression of, you know, getting over your fears and being able to hold this teddy bear in response to those fears. So just a beautiful poem, Scarlett, and an excellent write as well.
Thank
fantastic
you.
Fantastic read. You bet. And Emmy, what did you think?
Yeah, I think used belongings like this as like good details to kind of convey a relationship, and I find it to be really effective. I think it's sort of interesting because oftentimes a teddy bear would be something that's sort of like a friend to like a child, but in this case it's a child giving it to her mother. And I think it's sort of like, it kind of holds true that a lot of people still kind of like having stuffed animals into adulthood. I know I do, so I thought that part was pretty nice and interesting.
I disclosed this in my bio, but I suffer manic depression and I'm bipolar, and that was one of my worst days. And she kind of saved my life by doing that. And I've been in therapy and talking about the inner child, and that kind of helped revert me to think about the teddy bear and how, you know, when I'm holding him, it's kind of like taking care of that inner child instead of, you know, this woman that's just so confused and scared.
Yeah, absolutely. Great comment. Thank you for sharing that. And Dexter, what are your thoughts?
Well, I thought it was a fantastic read, and it brings a whole new element. You know, if this is your first time on the show reading it, it's fantastic to hear your voice. It just brings a whole another level of personal emotion and feel to it, you know. And that's what this definitely had. This had the inner workings and details of a family. You know, three out of the four children do what they're told, but the youngest has her own mold. You know, this is a very personal write, but it's one that a lot of families can relate to, and I appreciate the way that you opened up on this one. And very well done on the first read.
Well, thank you so much.
Excellent comment, Dexter. Thank you. And Daniel, what did you think?
Yeah, I agree with Dexter. It was a beautiful read. Appreciate you coming on. And this is an important subject. I actually felt a little bit like this today, to be honest, and came on the – forced myself to – part of why I came on the show tonight was to try to get myself out of that. But, you know, I understand that where, you know, it's Mother's Day. You know, you know what's happening, you know, but you even with your family that you love so much, even whatever, you just can't be around people. Like, you can get so depressed sometimes, and it takes that person to kind of, you know, sometimes to come in and just force you out of where you are. You know, you can understand that. I mean, I've certainly been there where you don't even want to move. You know, it's debilitating, and people who aren't there don't understand how debilitating mental you know, health can be. It can be as debilitating as any physical disease, and sometimes it kind of just takes somebody to or something to come in to kind of force you out of it. So I thought this was beautifully written, certainly an important topic, and really interesting. Yeah, great read. Thank you for writing it.
Well, thank you. I'm so thankful that someone connected with it so deep, and thank you for understanding, you know, firsthand the struggles, and I'm also sorry that you go through them as well, and I wish you luck with them, dealing with them.
Yeah, you know, the funny thing is whenever I get depressed, sad, whatever, what I've figured out to do is just wait. You know, sometimes you sit there, it's never going to get better, and just me being older now, I realize I almost get annoyed instead of like,
yes,
sad now. I'm like, oh,
I get impatient. Like, when will this pass? I know it will, but come
yeah.
on, hurry up. You know, it's
exactly,
like on to the next
exactly.
news cycle.
Exactly. I'm like, oh, all right. I'm just gonna watch TV or something till this goes away. Like, at least I'm not, you know, I'm
yeah,
not hopeless.
I just
know
I'm
when
like,
it's gonna
I don't
end.
Go anywhere. Yeah, I just want to stare at the wall until it's over.
Exactly. But excellent read. And yeah, I'm glad you're called in.
Great comment, Daniel. Thank you for sharing. And Bobby, what are your thoughts?
Well, first, I'd like to congratulate you for calling in and reading your piece. It sounds so much better coming from the author. You get a sense of the feeling, the emotion behind it, and certainly this was a very emotional piece. He's very courageous.
Thank you so much. It took a lot of courage to get out there and to read tonight.
That's great. Thank you for sharing that, Scarlett. And Sandra, what are your thoughts? Hello, Sandra?
Yes.
What are your thoughts on that poem?
Oh, I think any time that anyone expresses that authentic self in a piece of writing, that's important. And I think that all of us deal with issues. We all have things we have to deal with for life, and we all have our way of coping. And so I think it was very courageous of her to share something so personal, and I wish her luck. Because I know I've battled with depression. I don't know too many people in the United States that haven't battled with depression at some point
yeah,
in time in their life. You know?
I would agree with you. It's one of the leading diseases in our country,
yeah,
I believe.
It is. I mean, you know, so, it takes courage to come out and just admit it. You know, some people hide it behind alcohol or drugs or whatever they hide it behind. But her writing is cathartic. Her writing is cathartic. And I use writing as a way of releasing some of the tension.
It's very good therapy.
Absolutely. Wonderful comments, everybody. And I'd like to welcome Liu Wildove to the show. Hello, Liu.
Hello, Gray Eyes. Hi, everybody. How's everybody doing tonight?
Hey, Lou.
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Good. Good, thank you. You know, what I loved about Scarlett's poem is, you know, because I suffer from post-traumatic stress syndrome because of the way I grew up. And I do, you know, like everybody, go into those dark places. But what I've learned, that just like this child can feel energies, and children have a way of healing. I have a teddy bear, too, that I hug and clutch and kiss his nose, you know. And,
aww.
You know, sometimes, yeah, I do. And, you know, and sometimes those cards of darkness and fear and everything that I suffer through, sometimes they fall out. And I hold them, and I recognize them, and I allow them to be, like Daniel was saying, I hold on to them, and I allow them to be until, you know, I get out of it. And sometimes, like Sandra was talking about, I also find that writing is very cathartic because I can go in there and say things that I couldn't have said when I was a child or a teenager mm-hmm. or as an adult. And it allows me to express myself willingly so I can get out all those emotions, whether it's anger, sadness, passion.
Yes.
Don't read my poems.
Oh, I'm going to now.
And, you know, I tuck those little cards back in when I move forward. And I move forward. And this is what I love about this poem, is that you expressed what had happened, the imagery of this child's energy to heal its mother. And you know what? Good for you and good for everybody who has found an outlet so that it helps us survive.
Thank you. That's the most important part, is reaching out to someone else, that there's help out there. No one's alone.
Absolutely. Great comments, everybody. Passions, what did you think of the poem?
Ooh, I went off and read it, or gave my comment before y'all even read the poem. I felt bad.
Yeah.
But I too suffer from PTSD and borderline personality disorder, so I'm kind of whacked here and there. But reading the piece, as I stated, was very emotional, and a lot of people can relate to. I think that she did a wonderful job in expressing. When I get so depressed that I'm laying in bed for days without getting up to eat, to drink, or whatever, I just, you know, it's hard to move some days. And I have my oldest daughter's baby blanket that she handed to me and said that if I ever felt lonely, that I could cling onto the blanket. And that's what I do. And I write my expression out on in poetry. And sometimes I am a writer of, I love writing love and romance and that. But my dark writes come out when I'm so depressed that I don't know what to do. And it breaks the ice for me. Because once I express my feelings and my emotions, then it's like, oh, shoo, I can handle this now. Now, what do I need to do? And then I get up and do what I need to do. With the teddy bear, I think it's a beautiful gift that she had given to you so you can have a friend when you don't want a friend, if that makes any sense at all. You know,
yes,
some days
does.
I don't want to be with nobody. And I mean husband, sister, even the kids, you know. And I'm going, no, I can't deal with this. I can't. Not today. Not today. And I'll go days without, and they'll be knocking on my door. But, you know, you love them, but it, sometimes it's just not enough. You have to deal with trying to express your heart and your emotions and your feelings to somebody that won't be offended. Because I sure don't want to offend nobody. So, I mean, I don't know if you understand what I'm saying, but, you know.
Yes, I would rather stay inside and not be around anybody until I'm better. You know, I want that version of me to be the social butterfly.
Exactly. But you did a wonderful job with expressing. I give you props for that.
You know, passion, sometimes I find an example that, you know, I've talked to Gray about is sometimes, you know, how like a little dog or a wolf injures themselves and they go in a corner and they lick their wounds until it's better, but they snarl if anyone comes near. So, you know, it's we have to give us our space and allow us to lick our wounds.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Ma'am.
Okay, Bobby, I have the next poem up. Look at my green update.
Am I going to have an opportunity to read my poem?
Oh. Sure, you're up two from now.
Okay.
Thank you.
Four-leaf clover by Marvin Goldfarb.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm looking over a four-leaf clover that I should have overlooked before. The first loaf is white bread. The others are rye. There's no wonder why. I'm such a fat guy.
Wonderful, right? And a fantastic poem. You got gold on this in the contest, so congratulations on the gold, Marvin. And you did a beautiful job reading it, Bobby. But no, the poem is humorous. It's funny. I really like the play on the four-leaf clover to four-loaf cleaver. It's a beautiful poem. What did you think, Esther? Or sorry, Amelia? Emiliana.
Definitely a clever.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, sorry. I thought you said Dexter. My bad.
Oh.
Yeah, I did.
I think you said Dexter and then Emiliana.
Yeah.
Sorry.
You go
ahead. I was just going to say I can understand why. I mean, I wouldn't understand the white bread part, but, like, rye bread is actually really delicious. So, I mean, I'd be slightly fat, too.
I
agree. Thank you, Cameron. Honey, thank you. And Dexter, what did you think?
Yeah, I think her comment nailed it. But definitely a humorous, clever, and witty writer. So congratulations to Marvin.
Thank you, Dexter. And Daniel, what did you think?
Yeah, with everybody else, this is fun and funny and deserved the gold. I enjoyed it a lot. Great little brevity.
Great comment. Thank you, Daniel. And Scarlett, what are your thoughts?
The whole time in my head, I was thinking it sounded just like a nursery rhyme. I mean, the way the rhyming flowed and it was clever and it's just so lighthearted in that beat. That's the part I loved about it.
Absolutely. Great comment. Thank you. And Bobby, what are your thoughts?
Dare I say it? I enjoyed the wry humor.
Nice.
Great comment, Bobby. Thank you. And Sandra, what are your thoughts on the poem?
I thought it brought some levity to the evening, and if we're talking about very heavy subjects, like, it's much needed. You need to have a little bit of the other side of the coin.
Yeah, absolutely true that. Thank you for that. And Lee, what are your thoughts?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
You know, what I liked about this was satire. You know, he wrote it to the lyrics, Red Rover, Red Rover. And so now I've got those lyrics going on in my head. And just like everybody else, I like white. Mostly I like German farm bread, homemade. And I like rye, too. I'm not picky. Enjoyable poem.
Great comment. Thank you, Lee. Okay, Dexter, I have your poem up, if you wouldn't mind, please.
Okay. This is Life's Beauty Caught in a Glimpse by Duke of St. Paul, Dexter Bailey. Spinning freely under the stars, perfectly dialed lighting, adjusted to romance's eternal setting. A playground only occupied by the subtle breeze and our open imagination. Plenty of dawns will be reserved for heartache and complication. Plenty of dances will be shared, united by the strength of love's bond. But tonight, pour me just a taste of your intoxicating bottle shape. Capture my judgment with the element of surprise and introduce my lips right to the edge of your brim. As my gates crumble and passion overflows, your waving soft hair wraps tightly in my fist, and your rolling eyes tell a story that the man on the moon will take to his grave. End poem.
Wow, that was a beautiful, right? With incredible imagery. You know, each stanza has its own story, and I really liked that about the poem. It was very engaging and endearing throughout. What did you think, Emmy?
Thank you.
Absolutely.
I like the first stanza a lot, actually. Perfectly dialed lighting is like a really nice line because it sort of takes me right there, like, you know, as opposed to a light switch, it's like a dial, so I know that that's like a detail in the setting, and so that's really good. I thought the bottle shape is also a pretty nice like image that kind of just takes me there. There's a lot in here that just really, really takes you right to the scene, and I think that's really effective.
Thank you.
Wonderful comment. Thank you. And Daniel, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, Dex, this is a great read and a beautiful write, and I do really think you caught that, you know, caught in a glimpse. You know, sometimes it's those small little moments that can just play out in your mind. You know, plenty of dawns will be reserved for heartache and complication. Plenty of dances will be shared. So tonight, pour me just a little taste of your intoxicating bottle shape. You know, it was all just very beautiful, romantic, and each stanza. I did tell a little story. Again, beautiful read. So awesome job, man.
Great comment, Daniel. Thank you. And Scarlett, what are your thoughts?
I really got caught on the second stanza, the part, you know, the playground to me. I just got caught on the idea of, like, preserving innocence. And then I love, like, how you said you go on to the next group of lines and it tells another story. And it just kind of keeps you going, trying to... It builds on top of each other, the way I took it.
Absolutely. Great comment. Great comment, Scarlett. Thank you. Bobby, what are your thoughts?
Actually, you've got a very romantic love letter here. You're telling this person not only how much you enjoy being with them now, but how much you're going to enjoy being with them in the future. And that's... you capture my judgment with the element of surprise, introduce my lips right at the edge of your brim. It's a beautiful, beautiful write. Like I said, very, very romantic, and it's a beautiful love letter.
Well said. Thank you.
Bob.
And Sandra, what did you think?
I mean, what can you say negative against someone that has that type of love? I mean, so, you know, I agree, it's a love letter and well written.
Thank you, Sandra.
Absolutely. Thank you, Sandra. And Louie Waldo, what are your thoughts?
You know, I thought Dexter did a wonderful job in writing for this topic because it's very deep, you know. What's love got to do with it? It's got to do a lot for everything, depending on that type of relationship that you want that goes beyond just being physical, but it's also spiritual. And what I loved here was the imagery that you caught perfectly because this, you know, it's two separate people with two different ideas of what a relationship should be. And, you know, he puts here that plenty of dances will be shared, united by the strength of love's bond. But if you look above that next stanza, he says, plenty of dawns will be reserved for heartache and complication. You have to be realistic. There's always going to be heartache. There's always going to be complication. But this is something that you need to work out. And when you work it out, and I really love this because, you know, this just brings the impact. So tonight, pour me just a taste of your intoxicating bottle shape. And then in the next stanza, introduce my lips right to the edge of your brim. And, you know, that is what makes the impact when those souls connect and they just ignite and explode. And I thought he did a beautiful job in this.
Wonderful comment, Louie. Thank you. And Passions, what are your thoughts?
Dex, this was a beautiful, beautiful read. It was a beautiful write. Very romantic and love-filled. I, too, enjoy where it's not just fully, just love. It's plenty of dawns will be reserved for heartache and complications. You know, entwining what realistically happens in a relationship. I like the, as well, the introduce my lips right to the edge of your brim. And also the ending, I have to tell you that I will take this piece to my grave as well. This is a wonderful written piece that told a very good love story. Thank you for sharing.
Well said. Beautiful comment.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Excellent. Excellent write, Dexter. Excellent read. Okay, Sandra, I have your poem up whenever you're ready.
Yes. My poem is entitled Zebra Love. It snowed many days and nights during the season of their togetherness. The cold and shadows blanketed the whiteness, but never penetrated the fiery hot heat of their zebra love. Until love vows grounded in hope, drowned in alcohol-drenched worth and changing ways. She wanted a solution, an AA solution. He felt it was not required. Despite peeing in bed, sometime mistaking the hallway for the bathroom and falling and breaking an arm that had often held her clothes. Yes, it snowed many days and nights during the season of their togetherness. Cold and shadows blanketed the whiteness, now smothered and snuffed out zebra love fires. Each unchanged, no attempt to change movement, alcohol-soaked self-accusation, loosened cemented promises of a future to be. Desperately, he tried keeping a love that had secondary status to a yearned bottle. Beseeching biddings failed, so he hurtfully pinpointed ancestral roles which never mattered before in their love. She was not just a bitch. She was a black bitch, a black ungrateful bitch. Until powerless, he lambasted a decisive bruising blow. Leave, you ignorant nigger. She ran toward freedom. On his deathbed, he asked the nurse to tell his zebra love. He never, ever stopped loving her.
Well, you know, that's a powerful poem, honestly. Beautiful, but powerful. And, you know, it really speaks to, you know, when you're in love with somebody who's an alcoholic and how sideways that can go. And he ultimately, in the end, he ends up striking you and tells you to leave. But then, you know, on his deathbed, he says he'll never, ever stop loving her. So just a beautiful poem on the subject of biracial love and alcoholism. But wow, Excellent.
And what's love got to do with it? Because love could say that you can love someone, but you still have to leave them.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Would you like to say anything, Emma?
Oh, was that for me?
Yeah.
Yeah, this was definitely very good. I found it interesting how it was, how it had kind of turned racially charged there, and then with like the zebra love, which was just something that I kind of noticed. But I thought it was actually really good. I just didn't have much more to say. Sorry.
That's okay. Thank you. Daniel, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I thought this was a great emotive piece. A lot going on. And, you know, when first listening to it, I think it's going to be about, interracial relationship. And then it really does get into that alcoholism and addiction. You know, second poem we had tonight that I've heard about some sort of addiction and just how it can take you over and make you do things or say things that you don't mean or that you shouldn't be saying. You know, alcohol or any drug can just take over your life. I've certainly seen it happen to people. It sounds like, you know, the love of these people was great first and it was there and nothing mattered, and then the alcohol takes over and that's it, and then they're, you know, saying things that, you know, he's obviously saying racial hurtful things to this woman that, you know, either he really didn't mean on his deathbed, or the alcohol was taking over. So very, very guttural, deep, emotive piece. Awesome, right, Sandra? Great job. And a great read,
thank
too,
you.
As well.
Absolutely. Thank you, Daniel. And Bobby, what are your thoughts?
Wow. Very, very powerful piece. Very raw, very visceral. I think very courageous, right, because it lays bare a lot of very, very raw emotion. Again, so many of the other listeners, I did think it was going to touch on interracial love, which it does, but then it skirts into how a love can be corrupted by something that like alcohol, that when applied tends to amplify differences between two people. And in this case, the differences were used as a bludgeon. The lover flogs the partner with the differences. Instead of embracing the differences and celebrating them, he's used them as a cudgel, and realizes too late, unfortunately, too late for atonement of what damage he's done. I think this is a really tremendous write. I mean, really, really took a lot of guts to write this.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you, Bobby. It was a great comment. And Louie Wilder, what did you think?
You know, Sandra, I thought this was a fantastic write about relationships that have to deal with addictions or, you know, because addiction tends to bring out the ugliness in people with drugs and alcohol. And you never forget. You never forget. I still remember, even as a child, when I went to Canada and being surrounded by people and being called a nigger and being told to go back home to Texas. That punch in the guts and mental image is something that I believe, or at least it for me, it left a scar. And, you know, and I can put it away, but it's still there. And, you know, when certain things happen, it's a reminder. And, you know, at the end, he found, you know, because in the hospital or you can't
get the drugs of choice you need for that addiction. Mm-hmm. So it clears up and it clears the mind. And then you realize, you know, and they realize what they've done and they ask forgiveness, you know, which in some way softens that scar, but the scar is still there. Powerful, right? I enjoyed this poem, not because of the substance, but it, what it shows is what happens in a relationship when you destroy it with an addiction.
Absolutely. It was very raw and visceral. And I'd like to welcome Weaver of Dreams to the show. Hello, Weaver.
Hello, Weaver.
Hello. Hello, I'm sorry. I was unmuted. Hello. It's lovely to be here.
Great to have you. And did you get a chance to hear the last read?
No, I'm sorry. I didn't. I was so busy trying to get this stupid studio to let me in. I didn't have my headphones on, but okay.
That's okay. And so, Bobby, you're up next to read, please, and thank you.
Is he up here? Oh, you're doing it to me mm-hmm. again, aren't you? Thank you.
Yeah.
All right. Who is this place? Who is this Captain B2 character? I don't know. All right. Be sure to thank the gods. And this is for a contest that was had a noir theme to it. So I wrote like in the theme of Dashiell Hammett.
Ooh.
From 30 feet away, she looked like a lot of class. It was my first expectation that from 10 feet away, that classy look would transform itself into 20 miles of Death Valley fire trails. But it didn't. Oh boy, it didn't. Up close, she looked even better, almost unreal. So drop-dead gorgeous that my brain wouldn't let my eyes stop drinking in the view. Sort of like a train wreck, but in a good way. So as she made her way across the room with fluid feline grace, I kept searching for flaws. Gorgeous long hair, stunning face, and her figure, she was built like a brick schoolhouse. After surreptitiously studying her for an eternity, at long last, I finally found a failing. Sort of. Those legs that went on for days, well, when they ended, they made a perfect ass out of themselves. I felt like I was playing it cool, being smooth. Well, I was about to have smooth redefined for me. As it happened, she had detected my stealthy scrutiny. When I looked up at her again, our eyes met and she smiled. Mortified at being caught in the act of being in stealth mode, I sheepishly returned her smile and walked over to where she sat. Usually I don't give a damn about what other people think of my manners, but I apologize for being boorish and bought us around. That night was unusual in a lot of ways, me being out drinking for one. I'm an occasional drinker, a social gent who likes his vodka. I'm not the kind of guy who goes to the local pub for a short beer and wakes up in Singapore with a hangover and a beard. So now I find myself sitting across from this absolute goddess, beautiful, intelligent, engaging, who seemed genuinely interested in me. It was last call, so I asked her if she wanted anything. She said yes. She gives me a look, leans in close to me, and whispers in my ear, "I want to be a smile on your face that no one understands." Damn! I was in a wild mood that night, and I heard the banshees calling, so I thought, what the hell? This could be one of those nights I could reminisce over in my golden years after long winter evenings. So I invited her over to my place for a nightcap. Suave, right? We're barely inside the door. She drops her purse, kicks off her shoes, and lays a lip lock on me that knocks me completely off balance. I was to discover this gal just wasn't talk. She was technique, too. That night, The earth moved. The angels wept. The banshees howled. We bounced off the walls. You could have scraped me up with a putty knife. At the end, I felt as hollow and as empty as a space between stars. I wanted to go dance in the foam, and we sure as hell did. The French have a phrase for the experience we shared that night. Those characters have a phrase for everything, and they're always right. The French call it la petite mort, and now I know why. Afterward, I felt like death on toast. I was totally and wonderfully spoiled. I don't care who you think you are. I do know one thing. No one stays awake for long after an endorphin rush like that. We fell asleep against each other, and it felt so damn good. But after that deep sleep came the part I hated, the morning after. My head felt as though I had spent the night with it in a waffle iron. I fully expected to wake up by myself, and I sure as hell wasn't wrong. I found myself in bed alone with my disappointment, hugging my pillow. Sitting up, looking around, I spotted something on the kitchen table. Shuffling over to it, I couldn't believe what I was looking at. There it was, breakfast. Venti Starbucks and two chocolate croissants and a note with a telephone number and just two words, call me. I glanced upward and invoking the deities, I thanked them all. Whichever one of you did this, I owe you big time. End poem.
Wow. That was a beautiful read.
Yeah, it's fantastic, great.
Engaging storyline. I really liked your ability to role reverse in that right as well, taking yourself into the Manchus. And, you know, I thought you expressed that beautifully. You know, to wake up to an empty bed, but seeing a note that's left for you to wake up to with this coffee and croissants is just a beautiful thing. So excellent right, Bobby, and excellent read as well.
Thank you.
You bet. Emmy, what did you think?
It was definitely very immersive. It did not take very long for me to kind of feel the like intensity of it. I think the way of explaining it was good, specifically like near the end where he kind of wakes up and had like I've spent the night with it in a waffle iron. I thought that was really, it was really funny because it's sort of like realistic of like, you know, kind of a hangover. And I feel like it's sometimes, I don't often see stuff like that where it's like, you know, earth shattering pleasure and then the morning after. Usually it just ends with the pleasure part because, you know, I think it's like good for that being a little bit more realistic. And then I also didn't exactly expect like the little twist at the end. I honestly kind of thought it would just go a darker place. But yeah, I liked it.
Thank you.
Good comment. Thank you, Fashions. And Daniel, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, Bobby, it was a great read. And I thought you captured film noir beautifully. You know, you had humor in here, but then it was also just you could picture them. You know, the person like in a movie with the voiceover. Funny thing is, I was going back and forth in my mind with like a Humphrey Bogart, you know, film noir movie. And when you did the humor, I was so back and forth between that and Whose Line Is It Anyway when they're doing the film noir little thing with the humor you had because it was funny at the same time. So, you know, I thought, I don't know if you've ever seen that show when they do like, they have like a film noir sketch that they do. But I just thought it was great. I know you got the honorable mention on there, so well-deserved. And it really captured that whole feel, you know, of the voiceover, of the kind of, you know, dark but not scary, just kind of, you know, dark and black, and almost the black and white feel of the movie. So awesome, man. Great job, Bobby.
Thank you.
Good comment, Daniel. Thank you. And Passions, what did you think?
I think it was a wow piece of poetry. And it had me from the beginning to the very end. It was a very, the imagery was terrific. I mean, it was a great storyline. It led, I was kind of hoping it would lead to something sweet at the end. And, it, you know, those one-night stands are a bummer sometimes. But she managed to turn it out, and it was awesome, Bobby. Awesome job.
Thank you.
Great comment. Thank you. And Louie, what are your thoughts? Hello, Louie.
Talking to my mute.
Hey,
Bobby. You know, girl, you know, I love this poem. It's so MGM classic golden movies, you know, that black and white like Danny was talking about. And I love the imagery, you know, because this, you know, the thing is that this is a modern image. So I had coffee and, you know, croissants on my mind. But then you started reading, and I totally forgot about that picture on top. And you just pulled me into this fantastic storyline, satire and humor, I mean, and, you know, the passion. You know, I loved when he got embarrassed when he realized that she was staring at him. I loved that when this woman, you know, hey, after he closes the door, she just, you know, she knows what she's want. She's ready, you know, to put this man down, and of course, you know, after constant lovemaking all night, well, you know, it's natural that, you know, that you fall asleep. And what I love was that ending standard, because then you went all the way from the top all the way to the bottom, and you circled around and you pulled in the coffee and the croissant. And I can tell you, the whole time he was eating this, he was thinking about what happened all night and everything that at the bar and that, you know, I mean, most people, you know, majority of movies and even in true life, you know, it's a one-time stand and they just walk out, but it wasn't. It was calming. And, you know, I can just imagine how anybody would feel if you were in the same situation. A phone number, you know, the chick that you checked out all night, and coffee and croissants, especially chocolate. Fantastic.
Thank you.
Sandra, what did you think?
Well, what I liked mainly about it was very passionate, but it wasn't vulgar. I mean, you still got the heat, but it was classy heat. I mean, even though it's a one-night stand. It was a one-night stand. She told it with class, you know. She didn't make the woman seem like she was a whore. She made the woman seem like a woman he would want to see again and again. You know, so it was good. I liked it. I enjoyed it.
Thank you very much.
Wonderful comment, Sandra. Thank you. And Weaver, what did you think?
Oh, I thought it was absolutely brilliant. so many lines I could pull out, so many. But I think my particular favorite was that night the earth moved, the angels wept, the banshees howled. Busy, very busy night. We bounced off walls, you could have scraped me up with a putty knife. That is so cool. At the end, I felt as hollow and empty as the spaces between stars. I wanted to go dance in the foam, and we sure as hell did. Oh, I thought that was... I like the touches of humor. I love that, because this is a lovely, lovely story told so well, and moved beautifully and flowed beautifully, but the touches of humor are what I would have expected, and it was wonderfully done.
Right.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Weaver.
Wonderful comment, thank you. And do you have the next write-up, if you wouldn't mind, please?
Thank you, everyone. I'm going to have to go.
Bye, Sandra.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
You have a good
Thank
night,
you.
Sandra.
Bye, Sandra.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you for calling in. Okay, Lee, whenever you're ready.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, great, my bird's singing because I don't know if I can pronounce this word. So I would like to excuse myself with Luke reading his poetry.
Parsimonious Paris. Parsimonious Paris, awaiting phone vibrations. I've found myself in many sticky situations. I'm glued to the edge of my seat. Sit and repeat. This moving picture slithers across the wall. There's a silent snake hissing within walls. I'm partial to blame. I'm partial to drain. Information. Your eyes move with hypnotization. I'm glued to the seat, thrusting from sitting to repeat. Swollen gold between every seat. I'm not on a string. Repeat. Glaciers of holy frosted ice. There's not enough ice. I'm not that I'm naughty or nice. That's you for the price. I'm dehydrated, motivated, suffocated between your ovals. Shapes dance within shadows. I'm trying to love your romance. Sacred footsteps, tiny hands. I'm watching the ticking go by. For I hold your hand. You don't need no man. I'm excesses to cry. City of romance, France. I, Jeffrey, you will leave me with no wings. Like the mantid, I'm forced to pray from the sight of your movement, eyes locked on your body, but I can't change my mindset. It's easier if I was to shoot, forget bullets within dreams. I'll allow to drive through my memories, slow but grateful. I'm suffocated between breaths. I don't know where heaven rests. Tangled within tests, I'm petrified from your nest. Offspring, call me your king. I'm only bound to you by this ring. My God, I don't believe heaven could sting. I'm perplexed as your king. Your suck isn't smooth. It's intoxicating to move in. I'm tangled, strangled from within the mangled corpses of exes. I'd rather ask myself if I'm a sheep or a lamb. I'm not from Texas. Your beliefs, I'm a butcher to the grand feast. I'm your Petrus. No wonder I can't escape you. You're worse than the unknown. I searched your name. I should have always known. Parasimonious Paris, awaiting virtual invitations. You found yourself in my sticky situations. I've got you glued to the edge of your seat. Repeat, I'm the bone constrictor. I'm impatient like a viper. You follow like the Pied Piper. I'm pleased with your gifts. You give me that I want and I demand. You're a mouse with no secrets in range. You're rather strange within this rat's maze. You don't belong here, mouse, but manipulation refuses to allow you to leave my glamorous house. I'm not ours. I don't share with rodents. I've asked you several times. I spire with all these rhymes. You promised me good times. How does it feel to be lost in time? Your mind breaking, bones quaking, the fear shaking within your vessel. Wait! I don't mean you no harm. I'm just a girl from Texas, alone from a farm. I'm insecure. You are trapped within a wall. I just need you more. I adore you. I adore you. I've made mistakes. I've taken you for a small creature, not a human with any holy feature. We're in this movie together. You can't handle me when I'm always moving. Don't like being handled, especially at my worst. Oh, burst like me being your heaven. You sure as hell don't deserve me. Camera pans away. I want you to stay. Another night, you're forced to pray. Another day, I want you my way. Within rope, tangled within my strings, my life-changing strings. I am an angel standing within rings, not bring me my things. Patriots, I kneel. I'll stay. I'll always pray. I'm yours, your way, end poem.
Well, beautiful read, Liu. And, you know, this is an epic, right? You know, it's really detailed and layered with love and hate and, you know, idleness and emotions. Just a fantastic poem, beautifully expressed, Luke. What did you think, Bobby?
My God.
This is
a hell of an... it's positively epic. Complex, it's layered. with a truly impressive rhyme scheme, and externally and internally has a very melodious cadence and a rhythm. Tangled within tests, I'm petrified by your nests. Offspring, calling me your king, I'm only bound to you by this ring. My God, I don't believe heaven could sting. I'm perplexed as your king. It almost has a rap flavor to it, which is a very artful thing to do, and I find extremely difficult. But, I mean, magnificent wordplay, the articulate, cerebral word, pens, a word symphony on par with Tchaikovsky. It's extremely well done.
Great comment, Bobby. Thank you. And Pathans, what did you think?
I tell you, it's from Luke, this is one hell of a piece of poetry. I love the rhythm and flow of this piece. I loved how it was read. She did a wonderful job reading this. Can't say anything that hasn't already been said. This is a damn good piece of poetry.
A great comment, Passions. Thank you. And Sandra, what did you think? Mm-hmm. Hello, Sandra? Oh,
how about Sandra left?
Yeah, she must have. Weaver, what did you think?
Oh, yes. It was wonderful to listen to. It was really beautiful. As you said, as everybody said, everything in it worked so well. I particularly liked the rhyming of you know, when it rhymes, I think that is, it's not easy, but when it's done well, it's not obvious, if you know what I mean. You can read prose and it's fine, you don't notice. But when somebody rhymes things properly and it works, it really works, and I like that very much. This was, as everybody said, an epic write. So many things that you can bring out of it. So many lines, it was so good. But
Absolutely. It
was really enjoyable. Thank you.
Thank you, Weaver. I appreciate it. Okay, Passions, I have your write-up, if you wouldn't mind, please.
Okay. Oh. Hold on. Place. Well, I don't see it.
Might need to refresh your page.
I did. It's not showing me anything.
Oh, okay. I'll repost it. There you go.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Gray eyes. As I look at you, gray eyes, I melted. A history unknown to man lies behind them. I long to get in sight of who this fallen angel is. Dreams fall from heaven, and into my eyes they live. I smile, breathless. The momentum of my heart beats, skyrocket. I am in love. What's love got to do with it? My eyes strip to seeing. No, not for the body beneath the clothes, but to the root of the soul. I want to be the second-hand devotion, the half that completes them. Whispers of intimacy become the howl that the night carries. Into the back of the mind lays the dust of daily trials. I long to kiss the lips of heaven, to get lost in the momentum of his heart. I am breaking away from days of misery, to make you a part of me, to breathe in the same breath, to delve deep into fantasy. I am forever a dreamer. Join me. End poem.
Hello, Bobby. Are you...
I'm here. I can't hear anyone else, though.
No.
I hear y'all now.
Here we go.
I don't know what happened. I lost y'all.
Gremlins.
Who fed the gremlins?
I said gremlins.
Oh, sorry.
A whole platoon of them.
I said who fed them. You know, if you feed them after midnight, they become evil. So somebody must have fed them something. Sorry, carry on.
No.
What did you think of the poem, Bobby?
I enjoyed it. I think, I think I lost it. There it is. Oh, there it is. Okay. This is a very intensely emotional piece. Devotion to someone, how profoundly the love for this person affects the writer. I'm breaking away from days of misery to make you a part of me, to breathe the same breath, to delve deep into fantasy. I'm forever a dreamer. Join me. This is almost a devotional. This is a beautiful homage to how the person who is the object of affection raises them up and makes them feel better and makes them feel like they're more than they are, and which is a beautifully, beautifully written piece.
Thank you.
Great comment, Bobby. Thank you. And Louie, what did you think? Hello, Louie?
I think she said night-night.
Oh, really? Oh. Okay. Weaver, what did you think?
I'm sorry, I have lost it. Everything's gone weird on my PC. Could you ask someone else and get back to me in a minute, please?
Okay, sure. Passions, would you like to say anything about your poem?
Well, it was a dedication to you, as you know, but it's not. It was just I feel deeply connected to you in some ways. You're a good friend, and I just had to write, and I did. So I hope you enjoyed it. And take no offense to it.
I did. It was a beautiful dedication to me, and I appreciate it. Thank you kindly.
A lovely tribute.
You're welcome.
Absolutely. I appreciate it. Okay, so I'm going to play your SoundCloud next, Weaver.
Okay, thank you.
You bet. Okay, there we go. It's up. Now I just need to push play. Here we go.
I first saw you in the park, walking in the snow. I was drawn to your soft lips and smooth skin. You passed close by me, and you almost fell. I steadied you and felt the infatuation begin. There was an urgency to see and touch you again, which was odd. My feelings were rarely very strong. The closest thing to a relationship that I had had so far was with my mother, which had gone horribly wrong. Something about you was different, perhaps your smile. Too obvious. Wait, could it be the smell of your skin? A mixture of vanilla and musk stimulated my senses, awakening shards of desire which were slumbering within. At last we were alone. I felt the heat when our bodies touched. I tried to be gentle, but I heard you gasp and beg for more. Thick and soft, you yielded and opened to me, nothing withheld. Your intoxicating scent brought my demon to the fore. I looked into your eyes, where I saw innocence had disappeared. Now desire was sated. I could no longer smell the essence that was you. I felt a flicker of sadness as my hands closed around your throat, because now I saw clearly that, like mother, nothing about you was true.
Well, beautiful read, and that's a heartfelt poem. You know, it feels very personal and dark, but... you know, it speaks to the horror of a parent that betrays, you know, and that sinking deeply into your psyche as you carry on in your future relationships. So I thought it was a very haunting write with a fabulous read. And What did you think, Bobby?
I had no idea Weaver had such a provocative tone when she read. My goodness. You can read me the phone book, Weaver. I like what you said here. Something about you was different. Perhaps your smile, too obvious. Wait, it could be the smell of your skin. And then I looked into your eyes where I saw innocence had disappeared. Now desire was sated. I could no longer smell the essence that was you. I felt a flicker of sadness as my hands closed around your throat because I know so clearly, like mother, nothing about you was true. It was very sad. It starts with such effervescence and joy, and it ends on such a sad note. It's a deeply emotional and emotive piece. Very strongly emotional. Right, that's not difficult. That's not easy to do. So, very, very impressive piece.
Thank you.
Good comment. Thank you. And Emiliana, are you still with us?
Yeah. I'm still here. I was gonna.
Oh, okay.
Say it was kind of funny. Yeah, I sort of was out, and then I was back in, and then I was out, and then back in again. So it's been a journey. My sister told me that the way to – it's funny because my sister told me that the way to a man's heart was through vanilla perfume. I was reminded of that. This actually reminds me of something that I heard. I remember actually watching like an interview of like Edmund Kemper, who also had had a complicated relationship with his mother. And so that's kind of what this poem actually reminded me of, is this sort of like going from parent to then sort of sinking into like future relationships and going about it in a very like dark way that I just don't see very often. So yeah, that was really nice.
Great comment. Thank you, Emiliana. And Passions, what did you think? Oh, she said she'll be right back. Weaver, would you like to say anything about your poem?
Not really. I enjoyed the thought of it getting creepier and creepier. That's what I love. Well, that's all I have to say, really.
Okay, great comment. Thank you. Yeah, absolutely. So I've got the next poem up. This is called Bar Talk by David Philip Ireland, and he has a SoundCloud. So I will play that. Oh, sorry.
Night.
Chords and discords ring out in the darkness. The street echoes to bar talk and anonymous. The phone rings and again. But she is busy with macrame. They glare and sigh, and time passes by, and the friend who rang will try another day. Cross like swords, the street echoes to hard words and apologies. The phone rings and again, but she is busy with mascara. A licorice and cry, time passes by, and the friend who rang would try another day. Never heed as they once did, and the wall is built anew, and true feelings are not hid. Fit for attention, and the mention of the past stirs up the present, and the future lies before them, strewn with broken glass and bombs, and a difference of opinion leads to different addresses, and a multitude of blessings. So why didn't they do it sooner? There was nothing there to bind them, just convention there to blind them, and acquaintances can't find them in a phone book anymore. Out in the darkness, the street echoes with bar talk and anonymous. The phone rings and again, but she is busy with a mandrax, and he's not sure if she lives there.
Subject of disconnect and the thoughts and feelings that go along with that. So I thought it was just a fantastic, excellent singing and excellent song as well. Very endearing and engaging. What did you think, Bobby?
Oh, this was breathtaking. It had me from start to finish. I mean, beautiful composition. Beautiful poetry, very emotional, a lot being said here. A bid for attention and a mention of the past stirs up the present, and the future lies before them, strewn with broken glass and thorns. A difference of opinion leads to different addresses and a multitude of blessings. But there's so much being said in here, and the music is just exquisite. The last stanza, the street echoes with Bartok and Anonymous, and the phone rings again, but she's busy with a mandrax. I don't know if when he mentions Anonymous with the a capital A, I don't know if he's referencing the Anonymous Four, which is actually a Canadian a cappella group that does a lot of recording and have actually, they use classic French, ancient Italian, Latin, some tremendous pieces. And they're just an amazing group. But I could see where The Street Echoes with Bartok and Anonymous, that would be a stunning combination. But this is, I could listen to this over and over again. This is a tremendous piece. I've tucked it away in my favorites.
Absolutely. Wonderful comment, Bobby. Thank you. And Passions, what did you think?
I think she said it best. It was a breathtaking piece, beautifully sung. I love the instrumental in the background. Excellent. Just sensational. I, too, have bookmarked it.
Great comment. Thank you. And Emiliana, what did you think?
Yeah, I thought it was interesting. You can kind of always tell where a relationship is going when it kind of starts out with like a phone kind of ringing again and again and not being answered, and that's a way of really conveying an emotion through a detail. The way it closes too, I think, is just really brilliant, because like it's a refrain. It's actually like a repeat of the first stanza, so it's kind of the same scene over again, but like this time the distance has increased to where he doesn't even know if she lives there anymore. So it's like it kind of, it has a way of like increasing that distance as it kind of goes through, and it really emphasizes that.
Great comment.
So yeah, that was good.
Excellent. Great comment. Thank you, Emiliana. And Passions, what did you think?
You want me to say it again?
Oh, I'm sorry. Weaver, what did you think?
Well, I thought the voice was absolutely beautiful. I think that singing voice is just, I envy people who have that kind of talent. But yes, it was so sad. It was as if you're looking at, you actually could see two people. And they're in the same room, but completely distanced from each other. And it becomes more and more obvious that there is no connection any longer, which is, but because you're in the same house, it must make it doubly difficult to ignore somebody. Mind you, I can do it. But the one I thought was particularly telling, that the stanza for me that said it all, was, and why didn't they do it sooner? There was nothing there to bind them, just convention there to blind them, and acquaintances can't find them in the phone book anymore. I thought that was just beautifully constructed. And yes, as everybody else has said, it was really good and really enjoyable. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you, Weaver. Okay, so I got the next poem up here, and this is by Poetic Picasso, and he has a SoundCloud, so we'll play that.
By the virginal streams of water, I smell the distinct aromatic scent from the imbued dew of the rain within the spacious garden I adore. Beyond the gate of labyrinth is the bosom of teeming rivers, in the cascading wine gushing, where groves are covered in pearls. In the place of secret dreams, when the rainbow shines anew, the prism of a spectrum of colours, as the alabaster clouds amass. There I find my dear Serafina, the most beauteous angel of all, her radiant glow like a crystal. My eyes have seen her divinity. Her soft wings caress me, her embrace warms my heart, as I feel her close presence when the evenings are cold. The flight of a celestial orb emerging from a spectral twilight, with the gentle zephyr blowing beyond the distant horizon. She floats in delicate gossamers, and I sigh when I see her glow high above within the zenith, where I whisper to my Serafina. Like a ballerina, she dances upon the stars of the galaxy, gliding like a flashing comet before a symphony of angels. Oh, my sweet Serafina, I just wait for you to dance with me on the crescent moon upon the stars of the night. Will you dance with me? Will you dance with me, Serafina?
In the poem.
Wow, what a beautiful poem, and an excellent read on that poem as well. I thoroughly enjoyed the poem throughout. You know, it speaks to this ethereal, otherworldly love and connection that he has with his Serafina. And, you know, just his last question is, will you dance with me, Serafina? And, you know, such an engaging and endearing, right, throughout. What did you think, Bobby?
I agree. You called it ethereal, and I think I think that is a good descriptor. I think it's a gossamer piece. That speaks to the spiritual nature of the love, and how it feels almost the connection is angelic, and spiritual in its nature, and clearly the association is very uplifting. So and I think the piece therefore is very uplifting. In the read and in its mood. It's a beautifully done piece.
Great comment, Bobby. Thank you. And Amelia, what did you think? Emiliana?
I really got kind of a slightly darker vibe from the reading, and I think a lot of it was just the way it was read. But I really kind of got that there was almost something like more to this, like almost like an infatuation thing that I thought was really thought was like really well done with like the actual like SoundCloud and the reading and stuff.
Great comment, thank you. And Weaver, what are your thoughts?
Yes, I think it was incredibly well written. I love so many stanzas that are beautiful, of course, but I particularly like In the Place of Secret Dreams. Sorry, my voice is going. When the rainbow shines on you, the prism of a spectrum of colors as the alabaster clouds amass. I thought that was beautiful. Basically, noticing the fact that that white color is made up of all these different colors to give you pure light. I think it was just beautifully written, and obviously dear Serafina is the most beauteous angel of all, so no wonder he's infatuated. So yes, I thought it was lovely. Thank you.
Great comment. Thank you, Weaver. Okay, I've got the next poem up. This is by Diane D, and she has a SoundCloud, so we'll play that.
Night Sheen by Diane D. Amid the mystique of the luster, burnish ombre, gather mossy. Along the midnight caliginosity, milk blue mist shimmer silken, unsaddled like the Vestal Virgin, nudging coyness ever rested. Yammer yonder amid wickers, satins are her strands of silver, choreographed to dance on air, soaking in a chiffon white wine that mirrors glacial parchments that paint majesty on her mane. End poem.
Beautiful read, and you know, I love the really the excellent use of vocabulary, and your choice of her choice of words was definitely amazing, and just a beautiful write and read. What did you think, Bobby?
Oh, I agree completely. I was sitting here admiring her use of language and her use of vocabulary, a very very facile. With the different terms, burnished ombre along the midnight caliginosity. Beautifully said, I mean, and choreographed to dance on air, soaking in a chiffon white wine that mirrors glacial parchments and paints majesty on her mane. Beautiful visual imagery within this, the metaphors, and like the combination of the metaphors and the vocabulary. The writer did a tremendous job on this brevity to depict the selected prompt. Very nicely done.
Great comment. Thank you, Bobby. And Emiliana, yeah, what did you think?
Yeah, I really got like a sense of wild beauty reading this. And I think that mostly comes from like the line unsettled. Like a Vestal Virgin, which isn't just like the unsettled part, but it almost suggests that it had never been settled before. So purely a being of like nature is kind of the idea. There's been no human like tampering, you could say, and that I thought was actually really interesting.
Absolutely. Great comment, Passions. Thank you. And Weaver, what are your thoughts? Oh, I think Weaver. Hello, Weaver?
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, that's the first time I've done it. I promised myself I was going to be good. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Sorry about that. Now, that was a big, long...
That's okay.
Piece of interesting information I was giving everybody about everything, and nobody's heard it. Ah, typical.
Yeah.
I thought I was doing so well, and I thought, hello, as I was saying, which I will now say, I can't remember what I said. It was wonderful. That's what I said. Basically, it was wonderful. I love the depth of it. It had so much depth. You were dragged in and dragged down with it, and you know, listening to what was happening. But I love this yammer yonder amid wickers, which is obviously what the lovely horse is doing. Satins are her strands of silver. Just, yeah, beautifully. Very, very good. And I really enjoyed it. Thank you, Diane.
Great comment, Weaver. Thank you. And thank you, everybody, that called in tonight to share their hearts, minds, voices, and time. I appreciate you all. Much love, everybody. And have a good night.
Good night, everybody. Good night.
Good night. Good night.
Good night,
Emiliana.